for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Right, P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is a Friday afternoon service of September the 1st, 1995, of the Labor Day Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Missionary James Golden and Minister Mr. Coffey will be the speakers for this afternoon.
I think most of you already have met Brother Golden. Many of you have met him several times over the years that you've been to Camp Meeting. He and his wife have been in Belize. See, what did that used to be? British Honduras. They've been down there for many years and serving the Lord in the capacity down there. And they've been faithful. They are faithful. And so anyway, this afternoon, Brother James is going to minister. And if he doesn't close out the service, why, Brother Coffey will close out and help him in the closing the service this afternoon. Brother James.
Praise God. Praise God. Is it on? All glory to God. Has the Lord been good to you during this meeting? Are you glad you came to these meetings? I tell you what. Let me tell you. You know, you're just sitting there looking so pretty. And I don't know just exactly, maybe in a state of expectancy or in a state of wondering. But why don't you just get a little bit more in tune with the Lord? Why don't we all just stand up once again? Once again, let's stand up. Let's give God a big hand clap offering. Let's clap our hands unto the Lord, it says in Psalm 147:1, and shout unto God in the voice of triumph. All glory to God. Praise God. Yes, yes, yes. Worship Him. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let your heart strings be in tune with the Holy Spirit of God in worship. Glory to God. Praise His name. Praise His name. Glory to God. Now, before you sit down, shake hands with somebody else. Hug somebody else. Love them in the Lord. That's a way to get in tune with the Lord. We're not in a hurry here this evening. Yes, glory to God. Praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. After being outside of the United States for 2 years, well, you know, sometimes it's a little bit difficult to get re-geared to talking English once again. My English never was all that good in the first place. You who know us know that. But anyhow, what I have, I use it for the glory of God. We read of an experience of the Apostle Paul when he had gone on different journeys and he came back with the elders in Jerusalem. I will read a little bit about that. I have a bilingual Bible. On one side it's Spanish and on the other side it's English. It's necessary for us to have two Bibles, both languages. I'll read it first in English. Is that all right? And the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought. Pay attention to the words God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. And when they heard it, they did what? They glorified the Lord. God wants the glory. Now, in case somebody here knows Spanish, it says like this. Y al día siguiente Pablo entró con nosotros a ver a Jacobo y se hallaban reunidos todos los ancianos, a los cuales después de haberlos saludado les contó una por una las cosas que Dios había hecho entre los gentiles por su ministerio. Cuando lo oyeron, glorificaron a Dios. When they heard it, they glorified God.
God is moving mightily all around the world. You know, I've heard people's discourse of people that figure that when God made the world and made the Garden of Eden, well, somewhere along the line, God made mistakes like a scientist in some laboratory. Now, people feel that way, you know. I mean, they express themselves that way. So since then, God has been, you know, biting his fingernails and worrying about how he is going to patch up all the mistakes that he encountered in the Garden of Eden. Now, I know you don't feel like that way. I heard one fellow down in my neck of the woods, whenever he heard somebody expressing that, his way of saying it, I figure that God knowed what he was going to do before he ever done it. Anybody feel that way this morning? You feel like God knew what he was going to do before he ever started out to build the world? Amen. Oh, praise God. He knew what he was going to do in sending his ministers into the world. We read in the scripture, what does it say that the Son of God was manifested for? Yes, all praise God. Do you think he is going to do it, or he's going to get halfway and stop? Well, now, do you think he's going to destroy the works? Has the devil been working on you? Or was you born an angel free from all of that? Oh, no, far from it. We were born in a world of sin. In sin did my mother conceive me, David said. Oh, we have walked around all kinds of corruption, and it's had his effect upon us. You know, we read in the book of Revelation, and the Lord says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. He that overcometh, I shall be clothed in white raiment. He that overcometh. And you know, God delights in his people overcoming. So, he has allowed us to have something to overcome. We read in the book of Daniel about the beast and a false prophet, and we read the final conclusion. How they're going to all be overcome. We read in the scriptures about so many things that would happen in the last days. Whenever I was a young people, preacher, I used to like to spook people, you know. Really, I kind of fell into it without deliberately wanting to do something. But whenever you would preach things and be a calamity howler and tell about a lot of spooky things, you see people's eyes get big, and, you know, that can be delightful to the flesh. But, you know, the Lord had mercy upon me. And some of my favorite scriptures were, you know, concerning the horrible things of the last days. I used to stand up and quote, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. So men shall be lovers of their own self, coveters, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, without natural affections, unthankful, unholy, truce breakers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, and lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. One of my hobby horse scriptures used to be that the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, and having their conscience seared with a hot iron. But I remember reading some more scriptures and seeking God about what to preach. And God dealt with me not only to preach and expose all the evil that there is present, you know, and all the horrible gloom and doom that's coming to those that don't know God. God dealt with me to preach his solution. Praise God.
Amen.
And God is bringing about his solution. I believe that he's going to finish everything he started out to finish whenever he laid the foundation of the world. He's doing it in Belize, Central America, in Cuba, where we were recently. And on February the 24th, 1961, did I get that right, Merlene? The Lord joined Merlene and me together in holy matrimony down on Spring Street. There's a housing project now, but there was a building that used to be a mattress factory. And they just occupied the building, and dear brother started having services there. I met him over in Little Rock. He invited me to come over to Hot Springs. And I knew God had dealt with my heart to go to foreign countries and learn foreign languages. I knew that from a very early age, and the way that God had spoken to me. After we were joined together in holy matrimony, we took off to spend our honeymoon on the mission field. And we've been on honeymoon ever since. I mean, excuse me. Been on the mission field ever since. Paul said he declared things that God had wrought, and when they heard it, they glorified God. As soon as we got where we were going to start working in an orphanage, we met the devil, or some of his little devils. We were newlyweds. We had our own little room back in the corner of the orphanage. We were minding our own business, having a good time like God expects out of newlyweds. And we heard a terrible commotion in the big front room where we would have regular service. And we went out
there were two young Mexicans, and there was a poor lady, demon-possessed lady, kicking, writhing, screaming. The demons were screaming, "I'm not coming out," or "We're not coming out," and "This body belongs to us to torment." That's the words that they're in Spanish. "Este cuerpo pertenece a nosotros para tormentarlo." Mexican demon, you know, I tell you, they talk Spanish. They use the vocal cords and the vocabulary no matter what country you're in. Of course, I understood Spanish. Well, Merlene and I were very inexperienced. So, you know, I didn't know what to do. I wasn't afraid. I'd been in A.A. Allen's meetings, and I had been in some services over in Little Rock where people had got deliverance, but just to, you know, be right there where it come necessary to practice deliverance. So I waited on the Lord. I asked the Lord what to do. You know, in recent years, God has led us many miles. I have a deliverance handbook written by Brother Gene Moody, and you know, I read, studied that. That's really been a great book to help us to understand how to combat the forces of the devil. But without any kind of a handbook, we just let the Lord be our handbook, and I asked God what to do. There was two native Mexicans, one on each side of that woman. And when the demons were screaming out, they were screaming. Those two Mexicans, they were screaming in that woman's ear. Well, that's all they knew to do. I don't want to belittle them for doing all they knew to do. And they were screaming at those demons and telling those demons, "Come out of that woman." And so, you know, I watched that. I just stood there, just watched that going on and asking the Lord what to do. After a while, I felt the Lord giving us assurance of what to do. And I told my wife, "You lay your hand right there on the woman." And I laid my hands on my wife's hand. And we rebuked those spirits with the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that woman raised up and said, "I felt something great and wonderful in her right here. And it all left me and it all went away." Praise God. God is still in the process of tearing down the works of the devil. Praise God. You know, people have asked us about, deliverance, how we minister deliverance on the mission field, just how it goes about. I don't claim to have deliverance as a specialty, but since demon-possessed people are all around and the forces of witchcraft are all around, well, you know, you can't sit back and let that stuff overtake you, you know. You got to stand in the authority that the Lord has given. And like Brother Gene Moody, we saw him about a couple of weeks ago. We were preached in a place they call Men of Baptist Church, where he goes to service, and we had a good time of fellowship together. And you know, he was very interested. All the brethren were interested in how deliverance goes on the mission field. I told them that I don't claim to have any special discernment, but like when Jesus went from place to place, well, demons begin screaming out and begin manifesting themselves, and it seemed like it's just so clear you can't deny it. And what are you going to do? But you know, rebuke the powers of darkness. Just a few days ago, when we were in Belize, we were getting ready to come to the United States. After being away for 2 years, after being there with native people that we love, well, you know, it can be just a little bit stressful. For a long time, you can be halted between two opinions. I knew that leaving the green rainforest jungles of Belize and Central America and coming to the asphalt jungles of North America, it wasn't going to be any easy task. Over the 34 years of our missionary work, I have driven from border to border and coast to coast different times, visiting the little scattered out churches that we're acquainted with. And I knew it wasn't going to be any picnic. So, you know, Merlene and I, we usually pray before we go to bed. And so on July the 8th, we had a real good time of prayer, and I drifted off into sleep. But there I was in that state of stress, doing all the work I needed to do to get ready to go. And I felt like I had reached the end, not knowing just exactly what to do. I needed new strength. I needed assurance from the Lord. Anybody, any of you ever feel like that? After I drifted off to sleep, I began dreaming. And in the dream, we were in a place where there was lots of people, unknown people. In the dream, I was standing there with all the other people. But in the dream, Jesus came walking among the people from back on the far edge of the people. He began laying his hands on different people. Some people he didn't lay his hands on. And I was wondering why there were some he did lay his hands on, some he didn't lay his hands on. I was wondering if he'd lay his hands on me, because I really felt like I needed his hands laid on me. I was wondering if I would be one of those that would be left out. He wouldn't lay his hands on. As he began coming closer in the dream, he got about, I'd say, 8 or 9 feet away from me, wondering, yearning for him to lay his hands on me. And bless me, help me, strengthen me, direct me. He looked me right in the eyes. If I would have been awake, in real life, it couldn't have been more real. I stretched out my hands to him and I said, "I need you, Lord. Lord Jesus, I need you." And he come and laid his precious hands up on me. And I felt his Shekinah glory. I felt his power. I felt his authority. I felt victory in Jesus like I hadn't felt in a long time. In the dream, I stood there and spoke in another language. The Lord has helped me to speak different languages, natural language, speaking other tongues. But there in the dream, I was speaking still another language that I never had spoken before. After I had stood, bathed in the glory of God and speaking in the other language, well, then I felt led of the Lord. I looked around. I didn't see where Jesus was. But there was all of those people that he didn't lay his hands on. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, "Now you go lay hands on them." And I went and began laying hands on them. And they began receiving the same blessing and the same power and the same glory of God. You know, brothers and sisters, you might not have a dream like that. It might not happen in real life. You might not see a vision of Jesus. But let me tell you, just because you belong to him, you're one of his. His hand is upon you. He does not neglect his own. He is there to let you know his power and his authority and to give you the direction that you need. I mentioned when we first went to Belize. And Brother and Sister Coffee is going to come pretty soon. I'd like to mention an incident that when we first went to Mexico. And when we first went to Belize, it was a similar thing. We had worked in Mexico for 6 years and got a lot of experience. I was preaching one time in a remote village, maybe 300 people in the village. I don't know, hard to calculate the number of people there. But I was telling them of the power of God to deliver, because the powers of witchcraft are so strong. They don't use the word witchcraft, they use the word obia. Most of them call it obia. Spanish people, they call it brujería, hechicería. And after I had preached, I really felt the anointing and the power of God, and I expected something to happen. But whenever I gave the invitation, nobody came. People are, you know, afraid, scared of that power of witchcraft. But then away in the night, not too long before daylight hours, there was a man had walked. We had our trailer parked in a clearing in the jungle. And a few miles, the man had to walk to get to where we live. And he said, "There's a man down in our village, and he's demon-possessed. He's in terrible pain. He hasn't slept any. Told how many days and nights he hasn't slept any. Went to the doctor, and the doctor gave him some strong medicine, and the medicine couldn't help him. He begged me," he said. "The man begged me. He heard you preaching, heard about you that pray for the sick and cast out demons. The guy that walked, that he begged me to walk to come and get you." So we got up, got ready, took off down there. The man was writhing in agony. He began telling his story. And he said he had gone to a witch doctor after he had got sick and had that terrible pain. He'd gone to a medical doctor, and the medical doctor couldn't help him, gave him strong medicine. He said it didn't help at all. When he went to the witch doctor, this has been a few years ago, I can't remember all the details, but the witch doctor had, by the power of the devil, fortune-telling demon, had told him just exactly how he had got hurt. He had jumped across a creek, and there was an ant hill. There in the jungles, there's ants that make pretty tall hills. And according to the witch doctor, he fell. When he fell, a spirit got into him. And that spirit that got into him was, I think, according to the witch doctor, because he had been paying too much attention to them holy roller people. And he wasn't supposed to do that. They'll tell you all kinds of things to discourage you from getting saved and getting filled with the Holy Ghost. Powers of opposition are strong. But let me tell you, the powers of Jesus is even stronger. A lot stronger. We talked to that man about his soul salvation. Asked him if he was willing to repent of all of his sins and accept Jesus as his Savior. Very assuringly, he told us, I'll do anything for the Lord if I can get free from this, all of this pain. A lot of time, I think there's some people that really enjoy watching great manifestations. I try to do what I can to command the demons to hold their peace and come out, because we don't like to just, you know, give them every leeway. That's what we did. Very peacefully, the man let out a sigh and lay down and was set completely free. The pain all went away. And he slept for a long time. Sent word for us to come back. We went back and took our camera. And when I show slides, that's one of my favorite slides that I like to show. That man after that, just a few days after, he had worked with some kind of heavy road building equipment. And he went back on his job. But he was a living testimony of the power of God. And, you know, God set somebody free. You don't have to send out a lot of brochure and a lot of advertisement. The work of God will advertise itself. And not every day and not every week. Sometimes it's several times people come right to our house seeking God for deliverance, seeking God to be set free. Or sometimes they send and ask us to come over. And I could tell you many cases of where our God has been doing what he purposed to do when he sent Jesus Christ into the world to destroy the works of the devil. Let me tell you, I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, the fight is on. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm glad to be a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for Lake Hamilton Bible Camp that has given us the inspiration we get ministered to here in ways that we don't get ministered to in other places. And it's that ministry by the power of the Holy Ghost that we get while we're here, that we're able to take it down yonder. And I praise God for the finances. Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, more than anybody else, is faithful to send us finances to help us. God bless you, Brother Glenn, and we sure appreciate you for standing so faithfully with us. Okay, I'm going to turn the service now back over to Brother and Sister Crawford. Let God use them.
We can't all go. We can support those who do go, though. And as you do, you receive a blessing of everything that brother is blessed in. And the blessing that he receives of the Lord, as you support him, you receive a portion of that blessing. So, if in no other way, be faithful to the giving in this camp, because the camp gives to the brother. You see, this is the way that we should do it. And God will bless you. Deliverance. Why do people need deliverance? Well, when I got saved, God set me free. When if I got set free, then why do I need deliverance? Satan didn't quit because you got saved. That didn't cut off his power to come after you. And every time, we call it opening doors, and that means that every time we sin, we allow ourselves to be open for the enemy to come in and to attack us. My wife ran across some things that the Lord gave her. She read it in the Bible first, and the Lord began to open it up to her and said, this is what I'm showing you in the Word. This is how it works. The soul can be fragmented. It takes a little of your soul out every time the enemy comes in, and he replaces that with something he puts in. You don't remember as well as you used to remember. You're forgetful. You find that many things happen in your nervous system. We say we grow old, we don't hear as well. We don't see as well. I feel it is a demonic attack, and it comes in when we open doors. But being a Christian is by no means a guarantee that I'm not going to be attacked by the devil. In fact, it is a sure sign that you are going to be attacked. He didn't have to attack you. He already had you before. So when you became a Christian, and I'm talking about a true believer, because salvation didn't come all at once. You're still working after salvation. You and I both are still working out our salvation. We aren't there yet. We haven't arrived. But the time you came into a deliverance camp, he wrote your name down. You become a threat to him, to the devil, when you sit under deliverance teaching. Because this is the thing that reveals him to the world. And Satan works in darkness, always. And all of his demonic forces work in darkness. They never want to be seen, and we call it manifested. The manifestation of the devil to be openly revealed. So he's got your name down. You sat in the camp. Your name's down in his book. He knows you now. Before, you just kind of a number to it. Now he knows you. Why would you then really need deliverance? Go with me to Genesis, to the first chapter. Let's go to the beginning. Let's start in the beginning today. Well, I can't give it all to you. I wish I could. I wish I could share deliverance with you from one end to the other. And I've got to do it in a very short time, so I'm going to have to cut this real short today. But I want to give you some scripture to show you some things about deliverance. In Genesis 1, in verse 11, it says, "And God said, Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth the grass, the herb yielding seed, and after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good." God has a law. Seed brings forth its own kind. Now, man comes along, and he can do some changing with this. He can graft into a tree and combine fruit, but man has to do it. God will not automatically switch two trees over. It's a rule in God's economy that seed will bring forth its same kind of fruit that it came from. You plant an apple tree, you don't get peaches. You plant wheat, you don't get corn. It will bring forth its same kind. Verse 21, "And God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters of the sea, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good." Have you ever seen animals cross naturally, just naturally? One animal cross with another animal, bring forth a new type of animal. Man does it. But God never allowed it so. He had a reason for it. He never let this happen. Verse 26, "And God said, Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over all every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. After his kind, he again made a law here that man shall produce after his own kind. And God was very faithful in his law, and he wanted us to be faithful in his law. He also made man to rule over all of the creation. He gave man authority. You have authority over the creation that God made. As you walk with the Lord, when you belong to the Lord and you are his people, you have authority. Okay, if you drop over a chapter now and go to the third, you see the real problem comes in. "And the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said unto you, You shall not eat of the fruit of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die." See the lie right away? He can't tell the truth. You shall not surely die. And he lied to her. Because she did die. And man did die that ate with her. Oh, they lived on, but they died spiritually. There was a place left vacant within man because the spirit of the living God. I didn't read it back there. I'm kind of hurrying. How did God create man? He did it out of the dust of the earth. And I can just see God taking that man up and picking him up and breathing the very spirit of the living God into that man. And man became a living soul. And it was the spirit of God that was in there, but when he disobeyed in 3, that spirit moved out. And it left a vacancy within man that man has been trying to fill ever since that day he has gone about it, and most everybody searches in the wrong place for it. We try to do it with pleasure, mainly. Pleasure. If I have enough pleasure, I will be satisfied. I'm hunting something. Do you know what everybody's hunting? I know exactly what it is. They're hunting something that will bring peace. We're tormented. We're searching. We're reaching out. Even when we have no problems, as so to speak, that we know of, we still are not settled enough to be able to be at peace with ourselves or with anybody else. We are searching for something to fill this spot. We do it with fast cars, fast horses, fast women, fast men, pleasure, anyway, drink, dope, anything to try to bring that pleasure. And nothing will do it but Jesus. But Jesus, this is the only thing that will fill that spot, that will bring that peace that man is looking for. But he keeps looking, and he's searching for it. We say that we were taught as children, put it that way, that Eve ate the apple. I don't know whether there was any actual fruit of that in that place. The word garden, if you look it up, means a hedged in protection. That's what it stands for, hedged in protection. God made a hedge around his creation, man, that he protected. And man was in perfect harmony with God. That business of where it states that he didn't even know he was naked, he didn't even see with the natural eye. He didn't even have to open his eye because he was seeing so spiritually that he didn't even see that he was naked, never knew that he was naked until after he sinned. And God was everything that he had need of. He supplied everything. He didn't even need to see because he never even noticed it. And God supplied everything he had need of until he fell, till he decided, I can do it on my own. And that's what happens to you and I today. The Bible states that the Spirit comes from God. A new babe, the Spirit comes from God. And at the moment that we decide that we can handle it ourselves, and we will take control and do it our way, then we are lost. From that point before there, we were protected by God. That child is under God's protection. He came from God, and he's under God's protection. But the minute we decided, like Eve and Adam did, I can do it myself. I want to be my own boss. That's when we were lost. Paul says that I once didn't have to worry about this, and then sin moved in. And that's what it is. Sin moves in. And it's restored when we receive Jesus Christ. Getting ahead of myself, though. Man walks under this law. Go with me to Hebrews, to the 7th chapter. Hebrews 7, verse 9 says, "And as I may say so, Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him." Now, if what he's telling us, that at that point when Melchizedek met Abraham, Abraham had not yet had his son Isaac, who had not yet had his son Jacob, who had not yet had his 12 sons, who Levi was one of them, who became the priest. We're 3 generations away from him, yet he was in the loins of his great-grandfather. He was born just like that seed, that same seed. And you and I follow after. Now, when Adam fell, we fell. Because we are of the same seed, and we fell because Adam fell. Are we going to blame Adam? Well, we would have done worse had we been there. We are not nearly as spiritual a man as Adam. Adam was a very brilliant man. He was spiritual. He walked with the Lord. He had fellowship with God. He walked side by side with him in the cool of the day, it says. He was there with him. You and I have never experienced any of that. He was so smart that the names of the animals that he gave still stand today. And that was, what, 6,000, if we got our years right in the Bible, approximately 6,000 years ago. And those names still stand. That's a brilliant man. And if he was seduced into disobeying God, I think that was the fruit. I don't think it's something you take in your mouth. I think it was something that you did in the spirit. But that's... the Bible does not tell us any more than that. So we'll receive that just as the Bible said it, that he partook of the forbidden tree. And that tree is that knowledge of evil that he took of. And God wants to restore that. But we are in the very, we're in the very seed of Adam. Were we not? We fell. And if man produces after his own kind, so therefore, if three generations from Abraham was in his loins, were we not in the loins of, say, Abraham, or in the loins of, how far back do you want to go? You want to go back to Adam, or do you want to go back to Noah? Weren't we there? Weren't we in that seed? We fell. We have that same nature. Here is the problem, to restore that. Well, Jesus restored that. Jesus did all of it. Jesus is everything, and I agree with you. Jesus is everything. But our problem is we are not. And we receive Jesus, we do not walk in the manner that he directed us to walk in. We came in as little children. We came in knowing that we wanted what he said, but we did it our own way. We searched for it in the way we desired, not what he said. And we missed what God wanted, the very best for us. We missed it so many different times, and we opened doors and allowed the enemy come back in, even though he had already completed the work. Jesus completed the work. And we have opened the door for the enemy to move in. God wanted us pure. So much so that I'll show you how he directed even in the Old Testament when man was made. In Deuteronomy, in the 22nd chapter, verse 9 says, "Thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with divers seeds." You don't mix up your seed, different seed. "Lest the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown and the fruit of thy vineyard be defiled." But then he goes on to say, not only is he talking about the vine, the fruit, and the fruit that grows, "Thou shalt not plow an ox and an ass together." He wants these things separated. "Thou shalt not wear a garment of divers sorts as of woolen or linen together." No mixture. He doesn't want a mixture. God wanted mankind pure. Well, that doesn't really say what we wanted to say. Well, let's try Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19, verse 19. "You shall keep my statutes. Thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with diverse kind. Thou shalt not sow thy seed with mingled seed. Neither shall a garment mingle of linen and woolen come upon thee." He didn't want the mixture. And if we'll go further back and I'll not go into it now. You know that he told his children never, never to marry with any of the nations that they came in contact with. In fact, when you took the country, what were you supposed to do? You were supposed to go in and you were supposed to kill the men, the women, the children, and the cattle. Nothing alive. Left nothing alive. Why? He knew these spirits were still there. You know spirits transfer. You know that, don't you? Or do you? Jesus at Gadara, when he came ashore, and this wild man in the tombs met him. And he said, "Who are you? And what is your name?" And he said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And Jesus had commanded him to come out. You know, one of those scriptures tells how he went, ran and kneeled down and worshiped Jesus. Did you know that? That gave him the right to receive deliverance. And they screamed and said, "Don't send us out into the dry places. Let us go into the hogs." And they went to the animals. He said, "Go." And those demons went out of that man into the animals. Animals will really pick up demons. We have chalices that just hold demons. I know of one in my church at one time, a lady that had a dog that was just full. And they did deliverance in her home on that dog. Had to get them out of the dog regular. And I could tell you a lot about that family and that story who both husband and wife are now both dead. But I don't have time to go into all that tonight, this afternoon. But demons, I want you to know, if you don't combat them, if you don't fight, they will destroy you. We tell our people at the mission, we teach at a mission. Once a week, we go down and they give us as long as we want on a Friday night. Mildred teaches deliverance. And we tell them, without deliverance, you're never going to make it. You see, they're already been on the street. They have picked up everything under the sun that you wouldn't believe the demonic forces run. They'll take so much. They learn the language. You know, a lot of Christian people learn the language. They have all the right words. We know how to answer just most anything. We have the right words. But you know, we don't know the author. The problem is we don't know the author. But we can say the right things, and to listen to these people talk, we have a mighty warrior, a Christian warrior here before us just to hear him talk. But when you look at his life, it falls apart. Words don't count for much. Having the word will not do it. You have to obey that word and walk in it. And this is God's command to us. And how many times do we find in there to obey? And because we haven't, we have allowed the enemy to make inroads within our life. We've allowed the enemy to have dominion and rule upon us. So, because we have disobeyed, because we have, even after we have received Jesus Christ as our Lord, we still disobey. Ain't got anybody here tonight or this afternoon that doesn't have any sin in your life? See what I'm talking about? Sin opens the door. I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. Yet I do things that are wrong. And if I don't take care of it right momentarily, that gives the enemy an opportunity to move on me again. Then, of course, there are the curses. And I don't have time to preach curses. But curses are 4 generation and 10 generation. And during that period of time, most every curse I know of is renewed during that period of time, which carries it another 10 generations. And 5 generations down, it's renewed again, and it goes another 10 generations. Do you know what your great-great-great-grandfather did? How he lived? Did he love the Lord? Did he serve God? We have no idea. Oh, a few people might have some history books, but we don't really know what happened 3 or 4 generations ahead of us. So therefore, we are walking under a lot of curses, bloodline curses, that are right out of this book. Glenn does a beautiful teaching on curses. I've heard it, and I wish I had time to give it myself, but it is there. He says you are cursed with a curse. And God puts curses on people because of their disobedience, and they will not walk in the Word. And when you do, it opens the door again for the enemy to attack you. And when he does, he just latches himself onto you. He takes and moves in, and his playground is right up here in your mind. You're making him sound so horrible. He is horrible, but he's not powerful. He has as much power as you will give him. He is not all-powerful. My God is more powerful than all of the combined demons you can mass together at any time, at any place, or all there is in this world. Because I know that we've talked today about the second coming. And my Lord is sitting on a horse, and out of his mouth proceedeth a sword which he will use to strike down The enemy, which is all the demonic forces. Now, what's that sword? That's his word. That's just his word. He's just going to speak it. That's all he's got to do. He's just got to speak it. We have people say, you talk to demons? Yeah, I talk to demons. Oh, the Bible says, suffer him not to talk. Jesus said that. Jesus had a reason for saying that. It wasn't his time to be revealed. Those demons said, oh, I know who you are. You're the Son of God. And he said, hush. Don't you reveal that. If I capture a demon, I want to know everything I can from him. And I'm going to make him tell me as much as I can to get him out. And I do that occasionally. I would get one under in captivity. So this is why I would talk to a demon. I don't care to sit down and talk to a demon. They, just like Brother says, yeah, they use the language of the person they're in. They'll come right back at you, and sometimes it doesn't sound like the, more than likely it does not sound like the person. I don't know how they do in Spanish, but I know in English. And the women, I get women that has a masculine voice that come at me with a masculine voice. It will change the countenance of a person. We had a young man, 19 years old. That was a familiar spirit that you got involved with. I know that thing. That's what his name is. Had this familiar spirit, 19 years old, and he was kind of forced into coming over to our house. This was about the time we started the church, wasn't it? Just about the time we became pastors of the church. He came over. His parents kind of forced him to come over. He couldn't sleep at night. He'd sit there and lay in the bed at night, and the demons were running around his ceiling, and he could see them. He could see the demons in the ceiling, and he could hear them talking to him. And so his parents sent him over to us at our home one night. And as we began to minister to him, he swelled up. And his cheeks got full, and his eyebrows ran out over his eyes like this, and he looked like he was 45 years old. And when he talked, he had a deep voice, and he says, I'm going to kill you. We've all heard it if you've ministered in a deliverance. I hate you. I'm going to kill you. And they would if they could. They would do it if they could. Have a young lady in my church that when she manifests, she gets a pointed chin just like a witch. The proverbial witch. I don't know what witches are real like that, but she's full round chin, but when she manifests, her chin will go down and it point. Her eyes change completely. The enemy will make you look completely different, but more than that, he will make you act different. He will take over you so completely. This woman will get up in the middle of the night, or she did. I don't think she does it anymore, but she would get up in the middle of the night, leave her husband, mother-in-law, who is invalid, and two children, get in her car and drive, and never know that she where she was. She would show up. I had a son that lived out in the country, out near the state forest outside of Memphis. And he lived right outside the forest, and she lived 15 miles north of there. She has driven up in his front yard at 2 o'clock in the morning and parked in his driveway. And he would recognize, he would see the lights and recognize the car. And he would start out, it would leave. And she would never know she left the house. We've had the police call us and tell us, we have a lady here that doesn't know who she is, doesn't know her name. All she knows is this telephone number. Do you know who she is? And we say, where are you? And he'll tell us, and he told us, and Mildred said, well, you just stay there with her, and I'll call her husband, and he'll come get her. And that demon takes over, and she knows absolutely nothing. And she doesn't remember any of this. She never remembers any of this. No, he doesn't do that anymore. That was... when she first came to us, that this thing did that. She was hooked on drugs. She was a nurse on prescription drugs. They were free. You see, she could get all she wanted. And she had come tearing into our house on her way home from work from the hospitals in Memphis, and she lived north of us, the other side, so she'd stop at our house. I got to have help. I got to have help. I want drugs. I've just got to have more drugs. Bill would say, come in. Come on in and sit down, and she'd go after it. She hadn't had drugs in years. And had not one drug in years. Won't even take drugs anymore. No medicine. No medicine of any kind. Power of God moving in the lives of people. All the things that we've seen. The snake, person turn into a snake and weave around under these chairs like this and go around stick his head in a garbage can and push it with his head and go all over the church, and us start trying our best to call that thing out of them as they moved around the floor. Normal people don't act like that. That was a college student, yes, from the University of Mississippi. maybe one or two of the first. I think one of the first that we ever saw. We were holding prayer meeting in our home. Knew absolutely nothing about deliverance. Know how you feel. The Lord drops it on you when you're a child, so to speak, in deliverance. And we had a good crowd there, and we were singing and praising the Lord, and this woman manifested. She has three children. She's not a young girl. She had three children. And she went down on the floor. I don't remember all of the situation, and we... What do? Do you pray for them? Well, we tried praying for them. And I told Mildred, I said, well, we need to go on with prayer meeting like, you know, all good religious people. We got to get this show moved on. So you take her and take her into the other room and we'll go on with the service here. They carried her in her eyes. You know what pupils of your eyes look like? They turn long and turned up this way. Cat eyes. She scratched the floor. No, we didn't know what to do with her. But, you know, she wasn't scratching the floor when she came out of there. The Lord moved miraculously on that girl and set her free. And God will set people free. You see, even though we are Christian and we know the Lord, we have allowed the enemy inroads within our life, not openly meaning to do so, but because of our ignorance, because of our carelessness, because of our disobedience to God, we've allowed Satan to have move his demons. And Satan's not concerned with you or me. I don't think Satan's even concerned with Glenn over there. But he's got demons that know all about all of us. And they have a communication system that's out of this world. Isn't it? It really is. It's out of this world. But it's a good communication system, and they know how to communicate. And they're tight spirits that know about you. I said to brother here that it was a familiar spirit. Those are familiar spirits that know your background. They know your family. They are familiar with you and your family. They know about you. That was remember in Samuel when they called up the spirit of Saul had him call up the spirit of Samuel is what it was, and that familiar woman had a familiar spirit, brought that up. Now, I don't understand all that. Maybe brother knows about that and could explain it. I don't know how that really happens. I just know the Bible told me that, and I believe the word. I'm so far gone that if it had said that Jonah swallowed a whale, I believe I'd take that. I'd believe that. I just believe the word. And when God said it, you know, when we were in the Baptist church, we had a saying, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Well, that's wrong. When God said it, that settled it. I don't care whether you believe it or not. It is settled. It's not going to change because you don't believe it. Now, the reason I'm going through some of this here today, and the reason that I did this, I wanted to go ahead and just call the demons out. There are new people here. I don't know whether you ever sat Have you ever sat, is anybody here that has never sat in mass deliverance where we call demons out? One, two, three. Well, there's some, you see, four, there's more. There's people scattered around. I don't deliver you. My wife don't deliver you. Glenn don't deliver you. And Doc don't deliver you. But God uses each one of us. God has to use a vessel in the earth to do something. And he, by his power in heaven, uses us to call the demons, and the power of the living God sets you free. There is only one reason you have a right to be set free. Only one. No other. That is to serve God. If you've got your mind on serving God, if you want to get free so you can feel good, so you can get on with your life, so you can enjoy life, forget it. You're not going to get free. It won't work. It will. It absolutely, you will not get any deliverance. But if you want to serve God, God will meet you where you are. Now, the word spirit. They're evil spirits. They're demons. The word spirit is a Greek word, pneuma, and it's translated wind, breath, spirit. And if you want the Holy Spirit, you've got to put another word with it. Or if you want an evil spirit, you've got to put another word with it to get evil spirit. But that word spirit is the same everywhere. And I've got some scholars here that I might get my tense wrong and all of that, but I think I'm right on the base word. And when a spirit comes out, it's going to manifest in some way. Usually it is by breath or air, because it is spirit. We've done this so many times I don't even remember, couldn't begin to tell you how many times we've had mass deliverance. I watch people that will, I dare you to try to get this thing out of me, and they'll clench their teeth and they'll hold on to it with everything in them. But let me tell you, it don't have to go home with me. It goes home with you. And I'll do my part. I'll call him. You have to do your part. Now, the way you're supposed to do this is you don't pray out loud at all. I have people that want to say, bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. I receive you, Lord. Or pray in tongues. They won't come out over that. Your part is, you know how to pray silently? How many good Baptists we got? They teach you how to pray silently. And I was in the Baptist church. I was raised and I praised the Lord for them. They taught me. They really taught me word. But they didn't teach me about the Holy Spirit, and they didn't tell me anything about deliverance. But I want you to know that if you want to hold on to those things, you can hold on to them. But if you want to get rid of them, you sit and you set your mind, Father, I don't know if that thing's in there or not. I don't care what I call. I don't know if it's in there or not. Now, you think this. You don't say it out loud. But if it's in there, it has to go. I want to serve you. It's got to go. Nothing can stay in me that will hinder me from serving you, because you are what's important. And you breathe about three good deep breaths. And if you feel something stir, you cough at him a little bit. And once you start, I'm not trying to tell you to fake it, but once you start, you'll find you'll move that thing. And when you're sincere enough, they'll start moving out and they'll start coming out on their own. We have not really explained this before, I don't think, in a long time at least, you should expect. That's why I'm doing this today. You should expect something. You should feel a stirring down in here when we start calling demons, when we name them. And I'm just going through a list and name them over, and if we get the reaction, I'll name them again and go through them again. And this is what I'm going to do. But if you say, well, I know that I don't have that. For instance, if I call a homosexual spirit, I'm not a homosexual. How do you know there's not a homosexual spirit that you have come in contact with that has latched on to you? But you're not practicing homosexual. You're not a practicing homosexual. But that spirit is there, and if he gains enough strength, one day he will take over, and you will become a homosexual. That's how they work. And they sit dormant. We've dealt with people who, the spirits came in. In fact, what I said here last night, 3-year-old, he came in when the child was 1 or 2 years old. I've got a lady in our church, I've got two of them. One came in at 3 years old, and the other one came in at 4 years old, and they are monsters. I'm not talking about these little, we call them furballs. They're not furballs. These things are monsters. And how's that? They've almost destroyed two people. These two spirits that are in these two ladies have almost destroyed them. In fact, they have both given the testimony that had they not received as much deliverance as they have right now, they would probably be dead right now had they not been under deliverance. So this is where we are. And this is how deliverance works. Anybody want deliverance? Anybody want to be set free from something today? Am I just talking? If you're serious, set your eyes on the Lord, and the Lord will meet you right where you are, and He will set you free. He always meets you in that place where you are. Heavenly Father, I bind principalities and powers, rulers and the kings, in the name of the Lord Jesus, all the wicked spirits in the heavens, the darkness and that overshadows this place. I bind witchcraft. I bind all of the predominant spirits that are in this place. And everything that's loose here, Father, I call for your angels to come and to remove them in the name of the Lord Jesus, that we may not receive anything during this period of time that we're ministering, but they will be taken out of the way wherever you desire. Carry them to the pit, Lord. Bind them in that pit in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, set us free, Lord. We've come asking for deliverance, so we just expect you to minister to your people this day in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I command these spirits, the spirits of bitterness, to come out. All these spirits of bitterness in the name of the Lord Jesus, and all the family that goes with it, the resentment, the hatred, unforgiveness, violence, temper, anger, murder, rebellion, in the name of Jesus, loose them and let them go. In the name of the Lord Jesus, you can't stay. Come on out of there. Come on out. Move. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All of the murder, retaliation, anger, and temper, violence, unforgiveness, hatred, resentment, bitterness. Come on out. Come on out. All that bitterness. Bitterness in the name of the Lord Jesus. I take authority over you in Jesus' name. I break your holds. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I command you to loose these people. Loose them and come out. Come out in Jesus' name. All of the bitterness in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And all of that family, resentment, hatred, unforgiveness, violence, temper, anger, retaliation, murder, a spirit of rebellion. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I call out rebellion, the self-will, the stubbornness, the disobedience. In the name of the Lord Jesus, come out. Come out, the disobedience. I call out unbelief. Unbelief in the name of the Lord Jesus. I break the power of unbelief in the name of the Lord Jesus. All that doubt in Jesus' name. Loose them and let them go. Loose them and let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That spirit of doubt and unbelief. Loose them and come out in the name of Jesus. For the word of God is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. It is a discerner of the thought and the intent of the heart. The Lord knows and it sees you and you can't stay. You've got to go. In the name of the Lord Jesus, let them go. Let them go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Doubt and unbelief. Doubt and unbelief. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Loose them. Loose them and come out. Loose them in the name of the Lord Jesus. All that doubt. All the unbelief. Unbelief. The Word says, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. I cast out unbelief. Unbelief, you've got to go. Let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Loose them. Loose them in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out. Rebellion. Rebellion, you've got to go. All the self-will. Self-will, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is King of kings. He is Lord of lords. He is the Messiah. He is the anointed of God. You can't stay. He commands you, loose this people. All of the rebellion, the self-will and the stubbornness, all of the disobedience, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Spirits that harass, that cause you to be disobedient, come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. Jesus. Yes, let them go. Let them go. Come on out. Move in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. All the strife. Contention. All the contention and the bickering and the argument and the quarreling and the fighting. Come on out of there. Move in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Fighting and quarreling and argumenting. Bickering. Contention. Strife. Let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus. Jesus, loose them and come out. Loose them and come out. Loose them and come out. Come on out of there. Come on out. Move in Jesus' name. Everybody take 3 deep breaths. Get them moving. Work with me. One more. Loose them now and come out in the name of Jesus. All the contention and the bickering, the argument, the quarreling and the fighting, disagreements, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Strife, you have no peace. Place in the temple of the living God. Let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. Come out. Come out. You can't stay. You have no place. You have no place in God's people. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. 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 That mind control spirit, that spirit of control over you in the name of the Lord Jesus. All the possessiveness and the dominance and the witchcraft that controls the mind. Mind control, witchcraft, mind control. Let them go. Let them go. Come on out of there. Come on out. In the name of Jesus, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Mind control. Control of the mind. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Loose them and come out. Loose them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Mind control. Mind control. Dominance. Witchcraft. Witchcraft. I break witchcraft curses over this body in the name of the Lord Jesus that have put control over the minds of these people. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over the witchcraft that's been loosed. The witchcraft that has been loosed on these people. Let them go. Let them go. Witchcraft in itself means control of another. That's what witchcraft is. It just means you control someone else. Doesn't have to be a woman in a long pointed hat and a sharp chin. This means that you try to control someone else or you control someone. Now, control. Control. I break that control. Control. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I break the control. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I break the witch. The power of the witch. I break the power of the witch. This curse that she loosed. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. In the name of the Lord Jesus, come on out of it. Come on out. All that unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. In Jesus' name. We should have prayed, and we did it yesterday, though. It's been done yesterday or today, one time, one of the meetings, on unforgiveness. If you have aught against any, if you have anything that you hold against anybody, forgive right now. Your forgiving does not mean what they did was right. Your forgiving releases them from you and to the Lord. That's what you're doing. And it doesn't mean it was right what happened. You forgive. You forgive. So you can be forgiven. Loose them. Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Loose these people so they can freely forgive. Freely forgive. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. They'll not have retaliation. That spirit of retaliation, you've got to go. Retaliation. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Retaliation. Destruction. Destruction. Apollyon. Apollyon. Come on out of there. Come out in the name of Jesus. Spirit of Apollyon, in the name of the Lord Jesus, let them go. Let them go. Destruction. Your name is destruction. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Loose them. Loose them and let them go. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Destruction. Destruction. Come out. Hatred. Spite. Sadism. Hurt. Cruelty. Come on out of there. Come on out. In Jesus' name. All of the sadism. All the hurt. Hurt. Spirit of hurt. Spirit of hurt. Everybody here has harbored hurt at one time or another. I'll bet you that 95% of the people here right now have a spirit in them that's bringing up that hurt, that's bringing into your mind that hurt and brings it back over and over again that won't let you free from the hurt that somebody's done to you. I call out that spirit of hurt, deep hurt, deep hurt in the name of the Lord Jesus. Loose them and let them go. Loose them and let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus, all that hurt. All that spirit of hurt has to go. Come on out of there. Come on out. Move. Move. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Hurt. Hurt. Come out. Come out. Come out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hurt. All the hurt. Big hurts. Little hurts. You can't stay. You can't stay. Come out. Come out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Loose them. Loose them. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Come on out of there. Come on out. Come on out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Don't stifle the yawns. The air that comes out, don't hold it back. Let it go. Let it go. I have a lady that burps continually for an hour. When we call spirit, she will burp. And that's how she gets delivered. So it comes through the air. Don't hold it. Don't stifle it. Let it go. You don't want it. I don't want it. Nobody's interested in what's coming out. When we call these things, What's coming out might have been stirred up three names back. You just got stirred up back then. It's just now it's beginning to move. So don't worry about what anybody else is thinking. Don't hold on to anything. Say, Lord, set me free. Set me free. Set me free. Retaliation, destruction, spite, hatred, cruelty, rejection. We are not rejected. The Lord Jesus Christ has not rejected us, but that spirit tells you you're rejected. That spirit of rejection has to go. Rejection, you've got to go. In the name of the Lord Jesus, rejection, come on out of there. Come on out. Let them go. Fear of rejection. Fear has to go. The fear of rejection, it's got to go too. Come on out of there. Come on out. Fear of rejection. Self-rejection. Rejection of self. It has to go. Come out. Come on out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We are accepted in the Beloved. We are not rejected. Come out. You're a liar, demon. Let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus. Jesus. All of the rejection. Rejection. You have no place in God's people. Let them go. Let them go in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Loose them. Loose them and come out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Insecurity. Insecurity. Loose them. Loose them. In Jesus' name. Inferiority. Self-pity. Loneliness. Timidity. Shyness. Inadequacy. Ineptness. Come out. Come out. All the family. A whole family of insecurity. Insecurity. Loose them and let them go. And loose them in Jesus' name. The Lord didn't make us insecure. He said that you were given the power and love and a sound mind. So therefore, we are not insecure. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Those spirits have no place in us. Come out. Come out. All of the insecurity in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Inferiority, come out. Inferiority. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. We have the Spirit of Jesus. And we are not inferior. Come out. Come out. Self-pity. Loneliness. Let them go. Spirit of jealousy. Jealousy. In the name of the Lord Jesus, let them go. Let them go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Jealousy. Jealousy. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Envy, suspicion, distrust, selfishness. The Lord rebuke you. Come on out. All of it. All of it. Jealousy, envy, suspicion, distrust, selfishness. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Those withdrawal spirits, pouting and daydreaming. Here's a good one. Fantasy. We don't think much of that, but that's a monster. Fantasy is a monster. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. It is nothing for my Lord to drive him out, though. Fantasy. Loose them and let them go. Loose them and let them go. Come on out of there. Come on out. Move. Move in Jesus' name. Fantasy. You're a liar. You can't stay. You have no right. That's not your home any longer. Come out. Come out. Move from these people. In the name of Jesus. Jesus. All the fantasy. Fantasy. Unreality. Pretension. Pouting, daydreaming. Come on out. Come on out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Loose them and let them go. Escape. Indifference. Passivity. Sleepiness. Alcohol. Drugs. Escape. Escape. Come on out. Come on out. In the name of Jesus. I break the curse of alcohol over every person in the sound of my voice. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I release you from the bondage of a curse of alcohol. I release you from addiction. I bind that addiction spirit in the name of Jesus. I break its power. Addiction in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Loose them. Loose them and come out. Come on out of there. Addiction. Let them go. Let them go. Addiction to alcohol. Addiction to alcohol in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Addiction to drugs. I break addiction to drugs, prescription drugs especially. Type drugs that are mind-control drugs. What are they called? I don't even take them, so I don't know.
Narcotics.
Narcotics for one, but the one that...
Barbiturates, amphetamines.
Amphetamines, barbiturates. Tranquilizers. That's what I'm after. Tranquilizers. We take them as though they were nothing, and yet they control the mind. They make you passive. Tranquilizers, barbiturates, narcotics, in the name of Jesus, I'll take authority over every one of them. I break a curse over you of drugs and addiction to drugs in the name of Jesus. I break the power of the drugs in Jesus' name. I command them to come out. Come out. All of that addiction to drugs in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I break a addiction to nicotine. I break a curse of nicotine over this body in the name of the Lord Jesus. I command it to loosen and come out. Come out. Nicotine, that spirit of nicotine in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You don't have to smoke to have a spirit of nicotine in you. Come out. I have a lady that every time you call alcohol, she almost throws up, and she's never had a drink in her life, I don't think. But that spirit is there, or was there. It's not any longer, praise God. Spirit of nicotine. In the name of Jesus, let them go. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Nicotine. Nicotine. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Come on out. Come on out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on out, heart attack. Heart attack. Heart problems. Heart disorders. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, all the heart problems. Let them go. Let them go. Heart attacks. Heart attacks. Blood problems. All of the blood problems. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Every demon that's lodged in the bloodline, in the blood itself. In the name of Jesus, I break its power. It's caused infirmity in the body, high blood pressure and low blood pressure. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, all of the blood spirits, in the name of Jesus, come on out, come on out. Let them go, let them go. Come on out, come on out. Move, 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 move in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Call out a spirit of accident, accidents. People that just seen accident, that's an accident spirit. There's a spirit that brings accident, causes accident. Accidents, loose them. That spirit of accidents, come out, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Loose them and let them go. Loose them and let them go in the name of Jesus. Jesus. Accidents. Accidents in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Come on out. Come on out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Spiritually, come against the nervous system. The nervous system in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Loose them. Loose them and come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go. Come on out. Come on out. Come on out in Jesus' name. It's what?
A suing spirit.
A suing. Yes. Yes. That spirit, that suing spirit that wants you to sue every time it's an accident. I call out that suing spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That suing spirit in the name of Jesus. Let them go. You're destroyed. Your power is destroyed. You are destroyed in the name of Jesus. The word says, let my people go. Let my people go. I command you, demon, let this people go in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is the Lord that rebukes you. It is the Lord. In the name of Jesus we come. Let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus. You have no rights here. You have no rights. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I call out that spirit of pain in anybody that has pain here. In the name of Jesus. That spirit of pain. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I break your hold. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Pain, discomfort. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Loose them. Loose them and come out. Loose them in the name of the Lord Jesus. Come on out of there. Come on out. Pain. Pain. You've got a name. It says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess Jesus is Lord. Of beings in heaven, of beings in earth, and beings under the earth will all bow to the name of Jesus. Well, let's bow early. Let's bow tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus, demon, pain has to go. Pain in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on out. Come on out. Pain. Pain in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Emphysema. Emphysema. I call it emphysema. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Spirit of emphysema. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Well, it's kind of quieted down. We'll let these two continue to work for three, four, whatever. I'm going to bind up the others. We believe in finishing the work when we start it. We open it up. Let's finish it. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I bind every spirit and every person here now. In Jesus' name. Those that are active right now. Those that are reacting to people. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I ask you to send angels to carry every spirit out that came out. Carry them to the pit. Bind them in the pit that they'll not come back to harass this people in the name of the Lord Jesus. That they'll not return with anyone. That they'll not go home with anyone in the name of Jesus. I bind retaliation and backlash against this people in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus, all of the retaliation and the backlash from the enemy that because you sat in deliverance this day, in the name of Jesus, I cut off the power of the enemy. In Jesus' name. Father, fill this people with every place that was vacated by a spirit. You fill it with your Holy Spirit, Father. Fill us afresh and anew. All of us, fill us with your Spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we praise you and we thank you. We thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.